Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stephanie. Welcome to Lay, Love and Intimacy for the Disabled. This is your host, Stephanie Wallace. Tonight, we are going to be talking with a young lady named Sarah, who is from St. Louis, Missouri. Sarah is recently diagnosed, and she's been dealing with her condition, you know, progressing, and she needs some support. She really does. Sarah has two teenage children who are very active, who are into sports. They are into extracurricular activities, drill team. They run track, keeping up in school, all these things. And Sarah likes to support her children. She likes to be there during their activities. She likes to be there cheering them on. Stay in contact with the schools and everything like that. And it's been a little difficult for Sarah. And, you know, we're just going to try and let Sarah express herself tonight as well as lend her some support. But before we do that, I just want to remind you guys that on Saturday, at the last Saturday of every month, Laid has a live program at the Access Project, which is at 1325 Fifth Avenue in Manhattan, and that's between West 111th and West 112th. This past Saturday, we had a good time, a really good time. We did some improv. We improv dating scenarios. We had a debate about dating and a debate and a discussion. You know, it was really good. We really enjoyed ourselves. But make sure you guys come on out last Saturday of every month to Access. Look online on the Laid page to find out what the theme is for the evening. And right now we are going to talk with Sarah. Hold on. Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Hello?
Sarah, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, I can.
Okay. How are you doing?
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Just for all you guys, let you know, Sarah is my little cousin from St. Louis. I haven't seen her in about maybe 10 years, has it been?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been that long.
Yes, about that. I don't know. So, Sarah, tell me what you're dealing with. What's going on?
Well, so far, I have a lot of health issues going on, and it's kind of everything is kind of new to me, and it seems like every time I go back to the doctor, it's something else added on to what I've already been facing with. And so it's kind of a difficult situation to be in. Because it's all new to me.
Right. Right. Now, what do you mind me asking what the diagnosis
well,
is? So far,
I've got mitral valve prolapse and mitral regurgitation, osteoarthritis.
What does that have to do with? The mitral, the first thing you said, I can't even pronounce it. That's the heart?
It has something to do with the valves of the heart, yes.
Oh, okay.
It's a form of heart disease, and okay. My valves they're supposed to open and shut properly, and mine don't. So that's
okay.
An issue. And I also have like degenerative discs in my back and in my neck as well. I have neuropathy. I have carpal tunnel. I also have a couple of mental issues going on too as well. I suffer from depression, a whole lot of other stuff too.
Okay. Now, before I thought you had mentioned something about MS. Did they?
Yes. They're testing me for that. And because I've been having some problems with my nervous system. And so it's like my nervous system is trying to shut down on me. So they're trying to find out exactly what's going on with that.
Okay. Now, what has this done to you in terms of mobility and being able to get around? And because I know you have two teenagers, and I know they're very active. You know.
Yes.
So what has this done? Go ahead.
As far as my mobility is concerned, it has really kind of taken a toll on me because when you're used to doing stuff on your own, it's kind of difficult to not be able to do the things. And then on top of that, to have to ask people for help when you're used to doing things on your own, it makes it a little difficult.
Right.
And then sometimes I don't, you know, my kids are used to be me being active right along with them. And so sometimes I'd be feeling like maybe they don't want me to tag along with them because of my situations or whatever the case may be. But they have been very supportive in the situation. They just don't understand everything that's going on.
Right. Okay. I mean, it's kind of hard to help them to understand in the beginning because you're trying to digest it yourself. You know, you're trying to understand it yourself. You know, have you been able to identify any type of organizations or any type of support in your area?
Yes, I have. Something? I have.
Okay.
Looked up a couple of resources and stuff like that. You know, after a conversation that I've had with you, it made me want to go into a couple of agencies and stuff like that. Because it is kind of difficult to, you know, to grasp the concept of there's a possibility you might have use of certain limbs or whatever the case may be. And so it makes it kind of difficult. But at the same time, it is nice to know that there are other people that's like that and you can get through it. It's just the point of being connected with the right people for the support. Because going through this, you're going to need support.
You definitely will, Sarah, because you know what happened to me was that I just started feeling like, you know, when you said you like to be active with your children, and you're starting to feel like maybe they might not, you know, want you to tag along. I understand that feeling. Now I think that's maybe just a thought in your head, though, Sarah. Have they said that to you?
Not necessarily. I haven't heard anything as of yet. I'm still in the process of looking up everything, researching everything, and trying to figure out everything myself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I can recall, you know, myself starting to slow down and, you know, like going out to dinner with the family and being the one bringing up the rear and having to have somebody, you know, come back and just walk with me, you know, whatever. And then it got to the point where I just stopped. It was like, forget it, you guys go ahead, you know. And then I started to isolate myself. And then I found other people who were dealing with similar situations. And it really, really, a tremendous support that I've gotten from, you know, the community that I, you know, I'm in. And it has helped a lot. And so I really urge you, just like you take your medicine, find support.
Yes.
Really find support. You know, I know you were telling me that you were using a power chair.
Yes.
How has that been for you?
That's been fine. Using a power chair, it gives me a different look at other people that use power chairs because, see, they're used to usage in the house. They're not used to it being used outside and, you know, riding around the neighborhood or whatever the case may be. So my power chair has actually taken a turn for the worst. due to the areas that I'm riding in. Some of the level, the ground is not leveled, or I have to roll over certain little things and all that kind of stuff. So it's been kind of took a wear and tear on it, but it helps me to get around. So
Do you get a lot of looks?
Yeah, sometimes, but most of the time it's like I don't even be tripping off of it. I have my music on and I just continue on to keep rolling.
Okay, good. I have some callers on the line. Let's let some people in and see what they have to say. Hold on.
Okay.
Caller 1456, you're talking with Stephanie and Sarah. Hi, caller. How are you?
Hello.
Caller, are you there? Okay, you don't want to talk? No problem. Okay, caller 1588, you're talking with Stephanie and Sarah.
Hi,
Sasha.
I got a little late, so I need a refresher. I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay. We're talking to Sarah, who happens to be my little cousin, and she was telling us, you know, different. She's been diagnosed with a few things, and I made a mistake. I thought she was diagnosed with MS, but she is being tested for MS, correct?
Yes.
She has two teenage children who are very active, and she's just trying to remain supportive of her children while she's dealing with the new situations in her life, we'll call them, situations in her life. And this is Sasha. Sasha happens to have MS. For how many years, Sasha? When were you diagnosed?
18.
Okay,
I was 18. Diagnosed at 21.
Mm-hmm.
So, my life totally changed from just the person with really no problems to a person all of a sudden told from you may have kids, you may not have kids. It was challenging, but one thing, have you been tested for lupus?
No, I haven't.
Has been tested you for MS and lupus?
Because
a lot of people, they say you don't have MS,
mm-hmm.
but and then they test you for lupus because I have a friend, they diagnosed her with MS, and I said, all your symptoms aren't like MS.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get tested for lupus? When she went back, they found out she had lupus.
So, Sasha, let me ask you. After you were diagnosed with MS, you continued to work, right?
Yes, till 30 years old.
Oh, okay. And as you're, like, when I met you, you were already in a wheelchair, but you still remain active. You know, it's a lot of people, unfortunately, they feel like a new diagnosis or the onset of the symptoms of, you know, their illness, a lot of people feel like that is the end of, you know, their active life. But it's not. You know, so many people continue to go on to do other things. As a matter of fact, I have what are we going to call Damon, a young man. He was about 18 or 19 years ago, he was in a motorcycle accident, which left him chest down paralyzed. And he went on after that to become a comedian. You know, he's in a wheelchair. He's a comedian. He's been doing it for 10 years. You know, he's been on television. He's about to do a one-man show, DVD. He's an author. He teaches an exercise class to people who are not disabled. You know, so it just sometimes it turns a corner in your life and you find something else, you know, that you can do. And I know, Sarah, that you're pretty talented. You know, so it might give you time to focus on that drawing and that writing. What do you think, Sarah? Oh, we lost Sarah. Did we? Sarah, are you there?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay. All right, hold on. Our co-host, Tyson, is on the line. I just want to let him in.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Hello. Hey, Tyson,
hey.
How you doing?
Yeah. Okay. I've been listening. Yeah.
Where you been? No.
I know. Yes.
Okay, but we, you know, I saw you there for a while, so I know you've been listening, and we've been talking to Sarah.
Yes.
You know, we're just trying to give her a little bit of encouragement and support, letting her know that life does go on, and that you know everything's gonna be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything.
Everything takes time. Yes.
Sure.
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and Tyson, you've been living.
But is it my phone or what? Because I have an echo in the background.
I'm in a storage unit getting my stuff, and so there, you probably hear the echo from that.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't hear an echo. I don't hear an echo.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah,
I know the deaf man talking. That's what.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, Tyson, do you have any type of maybe words of encouragement for Sarah, any type of advice?
Not right now, but one thing I said to just to be around people that have the same, in the same community, as her. Indeed, because I'm in a wheelchair too. I had a stroke. So you need to be around people just like you. Because believe me, it will change your life and the way you think, you see. I see that myself, that other gentlemen like me, but we're doing more. That is, why can I do that too? Yes.
So when you see people doing more, it makes you want to do more?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
I'm hearing a lot of noise, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to put Sasha, I'm going to put you back on hold, and Tyson, I'm going to put you back on hold, okay?
Can I say something real quick?
Yes.
What Tyson said is true. Now, I want to say stay around positive people that will help you. Because I have been in MS groups, and the whole group, they sour as hell.
They were, I'm sorry, you said sour as hell?
Yes, thank God. Oh, Lord, I got this disease. Oh, and I would say, well, why not? Maybe you were meant to encourage other people. There's no excuse because I met a girl who said, oh, I can't go back to school. I got MS. You don't understand what's like. I graduated from college.
Mm-hmm.
I had MS. So what's your excuse?
Yeah, you have to keep going on. You know, Sarah, how has the rest of the family been with your new condition?
Well, majority of the family don't know exactly what's all been going on. I haven't really told anybody. Plus, you know, until everything gets confirmed, I don't want nobody to be alarmed or anything like that until I find out exactly what it is. Because at first they were saying it might be MS. Now they're stating it could be my nervous system is just trying to completely shut down on me. So we don't know exactly what's what, so they've just been running tests and trying to figure out what's what, and And we're just going from there. Hello?
Yes, I'm sorry. I got disconnected from my own show. I'm back. Now, what were you saying? You said the rest of the family doesn't really know what's going on?
No, they don't. I really haven't discussed anything with anybody until, you know, things got confirmed by the doctors.
Oh, okay.
Because they've been going back and forth saying it could be this, it could be that, it could be this. And it's like until I know exactly what's what, I just don't want to, you know, alarm anybody
take everybody through all of that.
Yeah. Until we know exactly what it is.
So there's your own research on like MS, lupus, anything, because you know doctors are legal drug dealers.
Yeah, they are.
They'll say, so terrible. Oh, you have MS, lupus, diabetes, panic attacks. Oh, here's some drugs. That will help it. No, it won't. Do your own research.
Okay, is that the experience you had with medications?
Doctor was shocked. He was like, you got to do this, you got to do that. I said, no, I don't. And I spit out medical terms. He said, someone's been doing their research.
Now, have they given you a lot? Are you taking a lot of medicine, Sarah?
Yes, I am. And that's what scares me a lot, is taking all this different foreign stuff and I don't know what they're giving me. And, you know, some medicines interact with other medicines and some of them interact with my condition. So it's kind of like it's a touch and go situation, and it scares you because they don't really know what's what, and it's like they're using you as a guinea pig to try to figure this stuff out.
Yeah, it
seems
that
way. And that's kind of how I be feeling about the situation.
Now, with the heart situation, please take care of that. Make sure that you stay consistent with the medicine that they're giving you with the heart. I'm sorry. That's nothing to play with.
I understand.
You know? Don't want to get big cousin-y on you, but, you know. You know, the women in our family have not lasted long, you know, so we want to make sure we're around. You know what I mean? Now, when it comes to your children and them seeing your condition, are they, how do they deal with it?
You said as far as my kids and the condition, how do they deal with it?
Yeah, how do they deal with it? How has it affected them?
My son, it really doesn't. I'm not gonna say it doesn't affect him as much, but he really don't understand how severe this is because he's been used to me being the strong one and all of that kind of stuff. I did have a conversation with him, and to the point where, you know, I broke down in tears, crying, to telling him exactly how scared I am, and that's kind of like when he kind of got an understanding, well, I'm not playing. This is not a game, because they don't see me cry. They don't see me break down. They don't see me do anything. And so for him to see that was letting him know this is serious.
Right. It's not just a headache.
No, it's not. It's not just something that I'm just talking about. If I'm scared, then that means that's a lot.
Yeah. What about your daughter?
My daughter, she knows, and she tries to do as much as she possibly can to try to help out. And she even sometimes be fussing at my son about it, because she's like, you know she can't do this, and you know she can't do that. And sometimes that kind of affects me, because, you know, you don't want them having to do everything for you and all of that kind of stuff.
But at the same time,
it's like you do need the help, you know.
Now, Do you have any outside help in terms of a health aide, a home health aide, or anything like that?
Yes, I have a home health aide that comes and takes
good,
care of me.
Oh, good, good,
and so that's a plus.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah, it helps to relieve some of the responsibilities on the children. It helps to relieve that. So that could be a big help, you know, in terms of the children or whatever. But what about you guys haven't had any family gatherings or anything like that? Nobody's asked you. What about when family comes around? How is that? What is, you know?
Well, when family do come around and they see and they're like, man, how long you been with the cane? And, you know, it's like, oh, my God, this and another. And it's like, yeah, I've been walking with the cane for a while now. And, you know, it's a big change when people see. It's kind of like you come out the cubby hole where you used to being shut in and all of that kind of stuff. So, you know, it was kind of difficult. I was a little shut in myself because I didn't want people to see me like that. I don't want nobody to look at me like, oh, well, she's this and she's that, this and that and the other. I wanted people to still see me as the same person that I've been all these years. It's just that now I might need a little help, you know?
Yeah, but you are. Whether they see you, do you feel like they'll see you as weak or something like that? Or
yeah, that's kind of my mentality is I feel like they would see me as a weak individual, as if, you know, I'm incapable of doing anything, you know, that kind of thing.
No. Don't ever think that you're still strong.
Mm-hmm.
You may need help with some things, but you the same person.
Mm-hmm.
You may
exactly.
be even stronger. Mm-mm.
Yeah, because it takes a hell of a lot of strength and resolve to live this life. You know, it takes a lot of strength and a lot of resolve to live this life. Don't worry about how people see you. That's one thing. Do not worry about how people see you. Just continue to, you know, do what you do and do it well. We have about 2 more minutes left to the show, so I'm going to let everybody know and remind you guys we are here. First of all, I want to say thank you to Sarah for sharing her story with us. We really appreciate it. And, you know, just like I said, the support is a major part of wellness and staying well is having that support. So make sure you get around some people who understand where you're coming from, so you won't have to feel that, you know, people seeing you in a weakened state or anything like that. You know, you're dealing with other people who are dealing with similar things. I just want to remind everybody that we are here every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time at www.blogtalkradio.com/laid. Every last Saturday of the month, we are at the Access Project at 1325 Fifth Avenue in Manhattan between West 111 and West 112. Next month, March, is going to be all about you guys. We are getting your stories. We are hearing your stories of triumph over disability. And we look forward to hearing from you. Me and Tyson and me and Ms. V and Dawn. And, guys, we will see you next week, 6 p.m. Bye-bye. And thank you, guys. Thank you, callers.
Thank
bye-bye.
You.
Thank
bye-bye.
You. Be safe.
Thank
all right, you
too. Bye-bye.